We're going to continue today with managing God's money. We've been talking about being a steward, a manager of God's assets, that all that we have is His, and He's the owner. And Matthew 6 talks about the life of the steward, basically, putting God first. That's really what we're doing, putting God first in everything. And one way we do that in our finances is through tithing and giving offerings, blessing, being a blessing. Today I want to talk about the benefits of tithing. There are many, numerous benefits. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." So I want to remind you of your benefits. Don't forget about the benefits. God's into benefits. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, and we'll read some verses and then kind of go through them line by line. Malachi 3, verse 7. It says, "Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." There's a lot here. First of all, it says, bring all the tithes. Again, tithes is the tenth part. If you have $100 and you're going to tithe off that, that'd be $10. So one-tenth. Bring it into the storehouse. And the storehouse means, in this particular scripture, means the temple treasury. So bring the tithe into the storehouse, there may be food in my house. Food represents life. Food represents health and strength. And so in this sense, the tithe provides the spiritual food that we need to fulfill God's plan for our lives. We have a vision and a mission here at Good News Church. The tithe is part of that, to provide the provision, the resources that are necessary for the fulfillment of the vision and the mission of this church. But also, we have a vision and a mission for our lives. And God's got provision for us. But the word that goes forth here, and what we're doing basically, is the Great Commission, reaching people with the gospel, training them up, raising up disciples, empowering people to give life, raising up life givers. And so our tithe, when we bring our tithe, it goes for that purpose. All right, so it says, "Try me now in this." And there may be one in the scripture, but I haven't found it. I've read the entire Bible. Every word, every line, every scripture. And I can't find another place where it says, "Try me now in this." So it's just interesting. It says, "Prove me." It's God is basically saying to us, "Let me show you who I really am. Let me show you what I'm like. Try this. Try this, you'll like it." And so there may be people, and I know there's folks that have tithed here a long time. I've been tithing for over 25 years. Who's been tithing for over 20 years? Who's been tithing over 10 years? You know, the same hands are going up. You can just keep your hand up. Who's been tithing over 5 years? You know, so many of us have been tithing a long time, but maybe some folks here today, maybe you have tithed in the past, or maybe you've never really tithed, maybe you've never heard of it. But we're doing a little bit of teaching on it. And so I want to encourage you to step out of the boat today. I want to encourage you to try this. Don't be afraid. Talked about it last week, how God makes the 90% go further than the 100%. So much further. It's ridiculous. It's outrageous. And it just doesn't make sense to your mind. And we step out in faith. And so if you see something in the Word with any of His promises, you know, and I say that over you, we're hearers and doers of the Word. We respond to the Word of God. Don't respond to me or respond to the Spirit of God. But if he has something in the Word for us to do, there's benefits to us. And aren't you just tired of giving the leftovers? Where's that gotten you? How's that been a blessing? Tithing is giving our best. And we don't give our best to the government. We don't give our best to even our families. We give the best to God. And He can take that 10% and make that 90% go so much further. It's just that 90%. I'd rather have the 90% blessed than the 100% cursed. I mean, that just sounds better. It is better. Well, then he says, bring all the tithes, bring the tenth. Try me in this. But then he says what he'll do. If you try him in this, prove him in this, he says he will open the windows of heaven. Now, how many know there's some good things in heaven? He says he'll open the windows of heaven, and if you look up that word windows, it's really floodgates. Floodgates. It's the same word that's used back for the flood, where there was the great flood of the water just covered the earth. The floodgates of the earth were opened. So the floodgates. So it's just that thing of something that has to be turned. It has to be opened. And so he says that he will open the floodgates of heaven. Now, what's going to be poured out? Is it something good? Is it something good? He says he's going to pour out a blessing that we don't have room enough to contain. I like what one translation says. I will pour you out a blessing until there is no more need. I will pour you out a blessing until there is no more need. And so it gives that idea that before you even have the need, the provision is there. I mean, before you were even born, God made a way for you to be saved. So whatever need you have, no how, however great it is, He's already got the need met. So why are we all stressed? Well, we're stressed because of the world. Because of the cares of the world. We're stressed because of people. We're stressed because maybe of bill collectors. We're stressed because we see maybe others that have things that maybe we don't have. We're stressed because of advertisers or all different reasons why we're under all this pressure. But if we would understand God and understand our Heavenly Father and understand His system, there would be never really a care about money again in our lives. Never another day where you've been worried about money. And see, in heaven, and see, the mentality we have, and this is the world's mentality, and I don't know, I grew up in a household, we had six of us. And how many know that young people like to take long showers? They don't understand the whole thing about the water heater and having enough, you know, hot water and the cost of things and all. They just don't understand these things. And so we, you know, there was four young, obviously, kids in our household and two.
There were five.
Five. Thank you. I'm thinking about my family. There's seven in my family. Thanks, Susie. That's why I have you. She's the corrector of the brethren. My family, okay, so growing up, and so there was nothing, so there were seven of us, five kids, two parents, okay. But did you ever have that happen where you're taking a shower and all of a sudden the hot water runs out? How many know that's a shock? So when I had the opportunity for our house, we have six in our household, four kids, Susie and I, that makes six. Okay, I was an accountant, by the way. Was. Anyway, so when our water heater went out, I had this brilliant idea. Instead of, we had a 40-gallon water heater, I had the brilliant idea of getting an 80-gallon water heater. And that way, we would have double the capacity, double the heat. And that way, when it came time for me to take the shower, there would be hot water. Well, next time around, it's going to be 160 gallons. But we look at kind of heaven or the blessings that God has for us kind of like a water heater. It's contained, it's limited, and we got to really watch it. We got and again, we need to be wise in how we handle things. But we kind of look like, you know, things are going to run out. We got to really be careful, really watch out, and have that mentality. But really, the way our lives are is we're not hooked up to a 40-gallon, 80-gallon water heater. We're hooked up to a reservoir or an ocean, an unlimited supply. And that's the God that we serve. And if you would have this understanding, He wants to have your need met more than you do. And so if there's a problem with us not having our need met, it's never on His end. It's always on our end. Because He has abundance. And all 6 billion people could be tithers and believers. And He's got enough resources to fully supply the vision, the mission, the businesses, the families. There's more than enough. And I know they say about scarcity in the world, but God's got a way to provide. If we have 10 billion, 20 billion people, 100 billion people, He's got unlimited resources, ways to provide for every person in abundance, and will never run out. But what's He pouring out of heaven? Is he raining down money? Did anybody wake up this morning and you needed some money for gas, so you walked out to the backyard and you have a tree out there, and you went out and, you know, depending on what car you drive, you grab 20 or 40 or 60, if you have a Suburban, $80, whatever you... Is that what you did this morning? Who has that money tree? Well, you're not going to raise your hand because you know I'll be over there to make a pastoral visit. Nobody has the money tree. And you don't have money raining out of heaven. So what is He pouring out? He's pouring out blessings, right? But what are these blessings? Now I've added one. I've actually got five different things that He's pouring out, and I'm sure there's others. But I know of five different things that He's pouring out, which isn't containing these blessings. So do you get the picture? Do you get the picture of the floodgates of heaven open above this church, above your business, above your lives? And can you just imagine the waterfall? The blessings just being poured out upon us. And that's the way we need to see ourselves. But there's at least five things that he's pouring out. The first thing is He's pouring out is wisdom. Wisdom, and Proverbs talks about wisdom being more valuable than gold or diamonds. Wisdom is the principal thing. So He's pouring out wisdom. Wisdom is God's mind, God's ideas, God's thoughts, how God would do it. Now, who could use some wisdom? And so wisdom is plans, strategies, ideas. Everybody say that. Plans, strategies, ideas. And so this is how to do things. And he's got wisdom. If you are a tither, he's got wisdom for you to pay your bills, wisdom for you to live, wisdom for your business, wisdom in your giving. And I mean, I would never have thought come tax time, Peter, needed a temple tax. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have thought of for Peter to go throw his line in the lake or whatever, and that it was going to be a coin and a fish. I wouldn't have thought of that. But God's got ways. God's got ways to provide, and we get so limited to where we're at, and so limited to how the world does things. We got to get out of that and start looking and expecting revelation from God on how to do things. He knows how to make money. He knows how to handle money. He knows how to invest money. Second thing is, he gives us the ability or the power to get wealth. That's Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. Within each, every person here, there's an ability, there's giftings within you that people will pay for. Now, have we all discovered them or developed them? Not necessarily. God will help you if you look to him. He says the steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered by the Lord. He will bring you along a path, and he will show you things, and he will show you the gifts and the abilities that are in us. But within each person, and you may be here today, and you don't know what that is right now. Maybe you're, well, Lord, I believe this will be a time, a season where he'll show you what your gifts are. But you've got a power, you've got an ability, you've got a force within you to get wealth. That's part of what parents should be doing. Parents should be helping their kids find their gifts, discover, find, and develop their giftings. The next thing that he pours out in this blessing is opportunities. So wisdom is how. The ability is what. Opportunities is when. God's got a timing to his blessings. Opportunities are meaning circumstances or timing is right that makes it possible to do something. So an opportunity is, I like this, opportunity is what you need when you need it. What you need when you need it. And he'll bring opportunities your way. He'll give you the wisdom to know what to do with the opportunities. How many know that everything that comes your way is not from God? And how many know that there's good things, there's also the best thing? But he's got opportunities. He's got raises. Everybody say raises. He's got increase. You can say it, increase. He's got promotion. And the reason why we get down about our jobs is we look to the job as our source. We look to our employer as our source of supply. Our source, and I talked about this last week, our provider is not the government. Our provider is not any employer. And we're grateful for our government. We're grateful. I'm grateful for tax benefits or, you know, tax credits and all the different things and all the things the government does for us. And I'm grateful for any employer that I've had. But they're not my source of supply. They're not the ones that make me rich. They're not the ones that bless me. God uses these folks to do that. And so if I'm at a job and there seems to be no opportunity, that doesn't mean that there's no opportunity for you. You've got to get your eyes off that person as your source and look to God. And every day, wake up and just have this. See, as believers, we should never have a down day. We should just wake up and live our lives with an expectancy. If we have a business, I mean, we should be excited about going to work. We should be excited about opening the doors because this is another day for God to bless me. And be excited about our jobs because we're not working for any person. We work for God, so we just do over and above. We do outrageous work. We do our job description, and the guys next to me, we do their job description. We do our work so well, it makes the other people mad at how well we do our jobs. And then, Matt, we just do it with a good attitude. I mean, we whistle while we work. We whistle, we sing, we're happy, and then people ask us, why are you so happy? Well, we just say, because my God supplies all of my need according to his riches and glory. And my Father is a good provider, and he provides every need that I have. Did you know, I'm glad you asked me that question. Did you know before I even have the need, my Heavenly Father already has the provision for me. And I've got an unlimited reservoir in heaven for my provision. So I can skip while I'm working. I love the ushers around here. We have the dancing and the singing ushers here at Good News Church. We're just happy. Because I'm going somewhere. In my future is promotion, is raises, is increase, opportunities. And God's got a path, and he's taken me step by step, and each step is better. We're going somewhere. And there's no limit to how far you can go. We limit ourselves. We limit God. The next thing that he pours out in this blessing is favor. Favor is over-generous, preferential treatment. People go out of their way. They don't even know why. They may not even like you. Your personality or how you are or how you look or the color of your skin. They may not even like you, and they may not even know why they do things, but they just go out of their way to bless you. Believers, unbelievers, because we have favor. Everybody say, I'm favored.
I'm favored.
You're God's favorite. You're his child. You're his son and daughter. I have favor at school. I have favor with my teachers. I have favor at the bank. I have favor at the grocery store. I have favor when I'm at Walmart. I have favor when I'm buying something. I have favor when I look at cars. I have favor with real estate agents and real estate people. And I have favor. I am favored. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Over-generous, preferential treatment. And the last thing that I'm going to add in this blessings is, he's got ways to bless me through expected and unexpected sources. We can look at our jobs, hopefully steady income. You can expect if this coming Friday's is payday, there's an expectation I'm going to receive a check that day. But Susie did a message one time. He's got a million ways. He's got ways that have never even been done before to get provision to you. If necessary, he'll send a bird to bring provision. He's really got a million, trillion, billion, zillion, gazillion ways. That's a good message. He's got a gazillion ways. Is that a word, gazillion? See, he just gave me that word, gazillion. It's revelation. But we limit him. We limit him to a certain source in a certain way to do things. And if we would just let all that go and just say, okay, I mean, don't you love it when the unexpected happens? Remember your surprise party? Just the unexpected. Don't you love that deal? All the good things that happened that night. You weren't expecting that. That's just the that was just God just pouring out. The unexpected. What happens if today is a day for an unexpected blessing for you? Then why do you look so sad? We ought to just have this goofy look on our face all the time. All right, on the count of three, I want you all to do a goofy look. One, two, three. All right, keep it. Some of you can't even do a goofy look. Tori, you should have that look on your face. Do that again, Tori. Come up here. Come on up here. All right, the Lord will help you. Tori, give us your goofy look. Give it to me again. Now, I want you to hold it for 3 seconds. But no, we want to be depressed. We want to be sad. We want to have a little pity party. Whose system are we living in? God's system or the world system? Are we people that have a hope? The other part he talks about, continuing on in Malachi 3. Well, let me just say this. So he has expected unexpected blessings. A miracle is a speeding up of the harvest process. So if you have a miracle of healing, what's happened? The healing of your body, because there's a natural healing in our bodies, and for some things it takes time depending on what it is. Well, a miracle is a speeding up of the healing process. A miracle in the financial realm is a speeding up of the harvest process. So if necessary, he can get a miracle to you and speed things up and provide your need that way. Alrighty, rebuking the devourer. Let me read those verses again. It says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that you will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts." He will make your stuff last longer. He will make your stuff last longer, and that's a blessing, because it will last so long that when it's time to get something new, your stuff will be in such great shape, you can bless somebody else with it. He'll make your stuff last longer. He'll make your stuff work properly, efficiently. He'll make you get the best deals on things. Just so many different ways. He'll protect us, watch over our stuff while we're gone. We don't need to be afraid of people stealing our stuff. And then if our stuff is somehow, the enemy manages to get it, the Bible says he's got to repay 7 times. If he steals your stuff, if anything's ever stolen from me, you just go to the Word and command it to come back to you 7 times, and the enemy's got to pay you back 7 times. And then the last part is, and all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. People will recognize the goodness of God in our lives. They will recognize joy. They will recognize peace, that we don't live like other people. We live differently. In an economy, in recession or depression, you know, gas prices go up and we just laugh. Groceries go up, we just laugh. The news people say about what's coming, any kind of fight, we just do high-speed dancing. Seriously. Because you can dance, and most people need alcohol or drugs or something to be able to do this, but we can just dance and be free. And we can just live our lives without pressure. Oh, we got another bill? They want more taxes? I'm a tither. There's delight in my household. There's joy in my household. We're a group of tithers. There ought to be joy at Good News Church. There ought to be freedom here. There ought to be a delight in our day. Now, I'm not saying, again we deal with problems. We have needs. And the enemy wants you to get focused on that. But I would rather get focused on what the Word says. I'd rather get focused on what the Holy Spirit has said. Because all those days that you spend worrying, and all those days you've been fretting and concerned about how it's all going to work out, you could have been rejoicing. And you could have been generous, and you could have been a blessing. And see, and you have a delight because you know what it's all about. I'm not blessed just so I have nice stuff. I'm blessed to be a blessing. And so I know that what's upon me is I know I'm blessed. I'm blessed. It's in me. It's on me. And the blessing is not a one-time feeling. It's a knowing I am blessed of God. And then I know why I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be a blessing. And so every day I'm not thinking about how to get blessed. Because I am. And so what I'm consumed with and thinking about is, how can I be a blessing? See, that's seeking first the kingdom. And it says, see, all these other things are going to be added to us. And it's going to be added to us, and it's going to be right on time. But we get focused on, how am I going to get blessed? How is it going to happen? Spend so much time trying to figure it out. We need to spend our time thinking about and being more creative. How can I be a blessing today? See, the purpose for the blessing is to be a blessing. How can I advance God's kingdom? How can I get people saved today? How can I raise up disciples? See, you just get so consumed with that. All the other things that the Gentiles seek, and they're seeking all these things, are going to be added to you. Brian, God's got blessings for your business. And I'm talking to you this year that you can't even imagine.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah. It's going to take faith to be able to receive it and to imagine. He's got it for you right now, Brian. So I want you, are you working tomorrow, Brent? Or are you off? You're working. I want tomorrow, the moment that you wake up, I want you to wake up with an expectancy and to say this. Say, something good is going to happen to me today.
Amen.
And say this, I'm expecting miracles today.
I'm expecting miracles.
And I'm telling you, good things are going to happen. And it's going to be, you ever seen, they ever made a snowman? you know, it just starts off with this little thing, and you start pushing, and you start pushing the snow, but it just starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'll tell you, that's what's going to happen. It's going to get bigger this tomorrow. It's going to start. It's going to snowball. It's going to start getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's going to be.
Glory, hallelujah. It's going to happen. That's right. I have favor.
We're a delightful land. We have joy. Amen. Praise God. We'll go ahead and receive our offering. Let's make this confession. The praise team, if you want to come forward, you can. Say this with me. And you can hold your checkbook or hold your wallet in your hand or whatever. Say this with me. Say, this offering represents my life. I bring my best to you. You are my source of supply. You are my provider. My trust is in you. I worship you with my offering. All that I have is yours. I am a faithful person. I'm faithful in the little things. My time, my talent, and my finances. Take what I have and use it for the advancement of your kingdom, for the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Receive and multiply back to me my seed so I can be even more generous. Say, I'm blessed. Say, I'm blessed. Now, I want you to say it with such conviction and such power, and say it like you mean it. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed. Say it again. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed to be a blessing.
I'm